Thanks for tuning in to Conversations About Meaningful Things, the podcast where we dig into life, faith, and all the important questions. In a world that can feel isolating sometimes, we want to encourage you that you're not alone, that God loves you and isn't afraid of your questions. And that's the purpose of this podcast. In our time together, you can expect real talk, genuine interviews, and probably a few laughs along the way. Our hope is as you connect, you feel seen, loved, and encouraged as you take steps in your faith journey. So settle in and let's dive into the conversation. We're so happy to have you along.
Hello, once again, thanks for joining us on Conversations About Meaningful Things. My name is Steve.
And I'm Alex.
My name is Brian.
Hi, Brian. How are you guys doing, by the way?
Doing good.
Good.
Doing pretty good.
So we're into March, and you know, I always think about March as, you know, spring, et cetera.
But my birthday month?
Oh, it's mine too, yeah.
Hey.
Brian, when's your birthday?
February.
Okay.
Man.
Happy belated.
We are really close in like birthdays,
a month ago.
A week apart, right. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So, but I think about March Madness being because I'm a basketball fan. Still play a lot. So, and it is crazy when March Madness kicks in because people are making their picks of who's going to win. They're waiting for the Final Four. Do you guys do all that? I haven't done a bracket in a long time.
Do you do a bracket, Brian?
Oh yeah,
you do?
Totally. I am not a sports person.
You're a yay sports guy.
I will watch the Super Bowl. I understand a lot of sports. I am not good at them, nor do I
look forward to sports much, do you?
Correct.
All right. So March Madness might not be as big a deal.
In a conversation about meaningful things, for me, sports would not be in there.
But you know, and that's, you know, honestly, that's one of the things we talked about in the previous episode is how do we determine, you know, things that are meaningful for us. And I could tell you, I probably could have said it last time, there's probably a time in my life when I was in college where sports was too high on the list of meaningful things for me. And when I think we come back, you know, we talk about March Madness coming up soon, but for some people, like, they're just so, I'll use the word, obsessed with sports and the sporting world, and March Madness just kind of feeds into that at times, you know, because you can watch every game, every minute of every game.
Know every stat.
Every stat, yeah, and it can be on your phone, it can be on your laptop, it can be on your television, it's going to be on the screen at the restaurant you're eating lunch in, all that stuff, right? Yeah. And so it seems like a lot at times. So,
I just saw a news article. It's the Kansas City Chiefs, right? That is the correct name of the sports team.
That is
team.
A team.
Correct team. Not that we like to say that name very often.
One of their games was freezing outside, and multiple of their fans that went to the game got frostbite.
Yeah, like smokes. Yeah, I was reading about that the other day too, and like to the point where the doctors are recommending amputations.
Oh my goodness.
Correct. They're going, saying this is important to me and I'm going to take my shirt off and below freezing temperatures. And
that's amazing.
And now,
that's dedication.
And now I don't need these fingers anymore, apparently.
That's right.
Which, I mean, it's in one way that's like almost comical, and the other way it's really sad.
Yes.
Like how?
Yeah. Based on our conversation in the last episode, that would definitely be a misplaced why.
Yeah,
for them.
I have some friends who would disagree with you, Brian. I think they think that's showing your true dedication for your team,
supporting the team.
Yeah, I gave away my pinky finger for my team.
So one of the things I did
think
about
the team cares.
After our last conversation about finding that meaning in our lives is that there is good whys to liking things like sports. There is good whys to liking almost anything. We were talking very lofty and very big last time, but that is because that is what's important, is our families, our God, and really just making sure that whatever it is that we have that is meaningful, that it does have that connecting point back to a meaningful why. You can love a sports team, and maybe that helps you bond in your relationships with friends and family. That is awesome. So there is... so many good things that can have meaning in your life.
Absolutely.
But you need to make sure that the the reasoning behind it is good.
And
also put on a jacket.
And and there's so many options too, right? I mean, we live in a culture that is I mean, it's been referred to as the information age, the digital age. All so, I mean, there really is a lot that is competing for the whys in our lives.
Yeah. Yeah. And actually, that's going to be our conversation topic.
Whoa.
For today, we're going to be talking about that whole idea. This it started back in the day with the 24-hour news cycle, mm-hmm. where they said, okay, we realize that we can get your attention all of the time. And that has more than just snowballed. I think that has erupted into just everything everywhere wants our attention. And we are constantly able to be connected 24/7. Yep. And that is something that is affecting all of us. So we think this is a meaningful thing to talk about.
Right.
So what are... I'm not just going to do it. I was almost going to say, what are the pros and cons? Just give us everything.
Big list.
Yeah.
But what... Let's start with the bad. What are some...
Get that out of the way.
What are some negatives that we've seen of being connected, especially digitally, but it could be anything, but having this just this waterfall, this fire hose of information, right. of entertainment.
I think one of the concerns I have with it is there seems to be this dynamic that whatever screams the loudest must be true. And I think that's dangerous. I think because mm-hmm. there's been so much information coming at us that sometimes there's analysis paralysis where we can't process all of it. And
right.
so we start to make presumptions and we kind of default into, well, you know, and it's a joke now. I don't think people really believe it, but well, if it's on the internet, it must be true. Right. So we laugh about that, but to a certain degree, if we see it repeatedly and it's
absolutely.
In my term, screaming the loudest, we tend to, okay, I guess that's true then. Mm. And I think we've lost a little bit of critical thinking, mm-hmm. in the current age that we're in with all of this, you know, barrage of stuff being available and coming at us. That's one of my concerns, that we're just not thinking as critically as we used to as a culture.
Yeah. Yeah. And I jump off of that, Steve. I think the convenience of it, in addition to not thinking critically, I think it's one of those things we rely so much on, you know, what we read instead of really asking the good questions. I also think a big part of this too, that has been maybe not a good outcome, is we don't know how to shut it off. It's like, it's just always there. It's almost, I think, reprogrammed just the way our brains work in terms of being able to sort of have moments of rest or disconnection. It's constantly tapping you on the shoulder. And there's some crazy research out there that I've seen of, like, it's affecting how we sleep and our health, because it's always there.
Right. And you're right. There's some research that would indicate that the way we handle that actually reprograms our ways of thinking about things, which is kind of scary, you know, when you think about that sort of impact and the level of impact that potentially has.
Yeah, so, Steve, you were talking about how whoever screams the loudest, that we kind of believe whatever we saw last will be in our mind. So in one way, we're not thinking for ourselves anymore. And then eventually, with so much going off of Alex, instead of just not thinking for ourselves, we're just not thinking
right
at all.
Yeah,
we don't want to hear the voice in our head. And so we just have entertainment 24/7, whatever it is. I know I can be guilty of that for sure, of just having something playing, music, a podcast, as it were. But
a podcast. Wait a second, Brian. Are you saying we're adding to this problem?
I think that we could be. I think that anything, it is just this giant cloud of everything that is out there. But as with so much in the world, it in and of itself is not bad. It's how we use it mm-hmm. that could be. I've heard this, that water, we need water to live, but if you have too much, then
you drown.
You're drowning. Yeah.
similarly, like entertainment in and of itself isn't bad. Information in and of itself isn't bad. But yeah. too much of it or not having the discernment to decide what is right and wrong or correct can be super detrimental.
So we've been talking, and the title of this podcast is Conversations About Meaningful Things. So at what point then, because there must be some redeeming value, right? There's a reason this has become so popular. There's a reason that it is everywhere. So there's got to be some redeeming value, but at what point do we see diminished returns? And so when we talk about meaningful things, does the information, the accessibility to whether it's on a phone or a computer or whatever it's on, that begins to, instead of adding to meaningful aspects of our lives, it begins to actually edge out meaningful things and becomes sometimes sort of the black hole of scrolling kind of thing where we're just
doom scrolling.
Yeah, we're just mindlessly scrolling through things. And but what would be maybe some of the things that you see the redeeming side of the technology and things that's available to us today?
Yeah, when it comes to the internet, I see it as a super helpful tool. A lot of the time, it is also a horrible, horrible place filled with just the worst things imaginable. But I think we need to determine or really decide what is enriching and what is distracting. So some of the enriching things, having for all of us as Christians, having a Bible app that is just always with us, so we don't forget our Bible and not have access to God's Word. That is super helpful.
Yeah, and along with that, resources, because a lot of times people say, like, I would read the Bible, but I don't know where to start, and I read it and it makes no sense to me or whatever. And there's, along with that, you know, the Bible app or the Bible with us, there's opportunities for, you know, reading plans or study plans that can help you understand and help you track through things that make sense and can help deepen your faith or ignite your faith.
Yeah. So access to all of that is really great. The catch 22 is that you also have access to things that are wrong. Yeah. But
so would you guys say, like, I mean, we're talking about not just social media, but we're talking about just media in general and the access we have to it, i.e. the internet, we have our phones, tablets, all of those things. And would you guys say that this lands in the amoral territory, meaning it's not good or bad, it's just a thing, it's what we choose to do, interact with this thing that determines whether or not it's a meaningful, healthy thing in our life, or it's a destructive, not good thing to have in your life?
So you're saying, is it how we choose to use it which determines?
Yeah, do you guys, where does this sort of land in your guys' minds?
Yeah, I would think that, you know, as we were just talking, I was thinking, you know, Brian, you said you can find this or you can find that. And the image that came to my mind is, like, all of us do this. We walk into a store, right? And you walk into a store and you can buy stuff that's really good and helpful. And that's why you're there, because you want to get that.
Right.
But then there's other stuff that even if you use it, or if you use it the wrong way, it's very detrimental. And so, maybe in my mind anyway, I'm just seeing the internet as like this, it's this big store, and what aisles you choose to go down and what products you choose to access yourself of and use and utilize is really going to determine, is that really a good thing or not a good thing? Is it a healthy thing or not a healthy thing for you?
Yeah, quite literally consuming.
Yes.
Like, you can eat something healthy, you can eat something unhealthy.
Right.
It's up to you.
Yeah. Absolutely.
But one thing will make you feel better.
Right. And maybe the difference with, like, the internet or our phones or our computers is, you know, I have to choose to go to the store. I have to get in the car. I have to drive there. I have to get out of the car. I have to walk in. Like, none of that is necessary with the internet or with my phone. It's all right there, and it's so accessible.
Absolutely.
And I think for a lot of people, myself included, if we don't have those guardrails and we don't think about those ahead of time and put some measures in place, then it would be easy to get just get consumed by that, which is a word that you just used, Brian.
Yeah. And now I know a lot of times when there's topics around this specific conversation, I think it tends to be all social media is bad, or we don't want to have a conversation around this that is open to talking about both sides. But I am curious. So all three of us behind the mics are either presently or formerly student pastors. And I'm curious your perspective, Brian, just because I think this affects all of us adults. we're setting the example for our kids, mm-hmm. us adults that use media or consume it or participate. But I'm really curious with, seems to be a correlation with uptick in mental health struggles, especially among adolescents in terms of social media usage or consumption. I'm curious if you've seen that and how do you walk with students as you're talking through this idea of like, what does it mean to be in a world where this is just part of our culture, and how do you navigate that with wisdom and you know, that it's not necessarily a bad thing, but it can become something that kind of consumes our life and maybe in an unhealthy way. How do you navigate that?
Yeah. I mean, we're human. We've all fallen into the comparison trap at least once. And you're talking about how we have to be discerning about what's real and what's fake, mm-hmm. what's right and what's wrong online. Absolutely. Yeah. Social media with anything. When it comes to that, I have seen in this current generation, Gen Z, I guess you would say, but for them, they've grown up with it. So they're actually a lot more literate. So they're at least a slightly more balanced in this time, but absolutely, it definitely has not just hurt self-esteem, but also kind of what you were talking about at the beginning, attention span, mm-hmm. as well. If you never have to confront yourself and what you're struggling with, because you can constantly be entertained all of the time, then you're never going to get better. You're just brushing things under the rug.
Right.
I've used the analogy before of like when you're fixing your house, you don't just, if you have a rotten floorboard, you don't just paint over it and say, okay, it's fine. Right. You need to take it out, right? And so back when we didn't have this much access to things, you would have time to be able to say, okay, this is a problem. Let me fix it, or let me find somebody that can help me fix it.
Absolutely.
Now, not only are we not hearing our own thoughts and ideas because we're constantly consuming someone else's, we're also not listening to God either.
Right.
So I fully encourage my students to unplug at times, for sure. You shouldn't be consuming that much of anything.
Yeah.
Right.
And yeah.
I think another aspect of that is there seems to be little, or at least a much more diminished accountability, mm-hmm. when it comes to internet. And I don't mean just usage. I mean even the reality of, and you mentioned it, Brian, what's real and what's not real. Like, I can go on and create any persona I want to try and create, right? But mm-hmm. that's a lot different than me just having a face-to-face relationship or connection with somebody. And so the escape to escape from reality, but it presents itself as reality,
right.
I think is one of those red flag things for me. And those screens don't replace faces, right, in terms of authentic relationships.
Yeah.
But for a generation, like you said, Brian, that's grown up with this, you talk about, Alex, you asked a question about youth ministry and the effect. I remember lots of years where this wasn't an issue,
right.
in youth ministry, because it just didn't exist for me early on.
Yeah.
But now the idea of, this is perception reality. Like, is what I put out there, is that real? Is that an authentic relationship? And I struggle with that. I struggle with saying it is, because there's so many really healthy dynamics of relationship that the internet cannot provide.
Yeah.
And so I think that's one of the red flags for me, especially in terms of the younger generations. Like, don't think that this is all there is. Mm-hmm. Because in some ways, if that's what you think, then that's what you're going to accept. Sure. And you're not going to, you're not going to look for or work towards anything better or deeper than that.
Yeah.
It's the illusion of connection.
Yeah.
We talked about it last episode that we're all wired to be in relationship. And so whether it is, I think we'll do a full, feel like we have a lot more to talk about with social media.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So we'll do another full one. But even when it comes to, I guess they're called social influencers. It's kind of this new era of celebrity where it seems very personal, but you're not actually connecting with this YouTuber, this TikToker.
Right.
You're in their room, you're watching them do whatever, but you're not really.
Right. Yeah. Well, it's, and I'm maybe a little old school this, but like, how many friends do I have? How many followers do I have, right, on social media? I think, how many people are coming to help you move when you get a new apartment? Like, that's how many friends you have. Friends.
Yeah. Absolutely. I hate helping people move. Even if I'm really your friend. That's you have to really be my friend.
Don't move very often.
Yeah. No, thanks, Alex.
Sorry. Just a moment of transparency.
Yeah.
I think one thing coming out of doing some student ministry, I will say I have found with Gen Z, I think they're a little bit more tuned and desire real more than I would even say my generation millennials do. Because they have grown up with it and know, like, hey, I want real, tangible, not just fake. They can sniff out fake pretty quickly.
Mm-hmm.
But I think regardless of what our age is, just being mindful of what we're consuming is always a good idea. I just wanted to read again. This is just from my perspective as a follower of Christ, like, One of my favorite books in the Bible is Philippians, and Paul writes this letter, and this is one of those passages that I think really hits home for conversations like this. He encourages in Philippians 4 to fix your thoughts on what's true, what's honorable, what's right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about these things that are excellent and worthy of praise. And I, just thinking through that lens of what am I consuming, and is it filling me up with things that are good and true and honorable, or is it distracting from that? And there's so many things, like you said, Brian, it's like you're consuming stuff. Is what you're consuming, is it helping you grow as a person and pointing you in a good direction, or is it detracting from that?
Right. And let's face it, there's all of us have things that we just enjoy. It's a little bit of it's a fun thing. I don't know if it's, I want to go have an ice cream cone, that's good. Yeah. Is it good for me to sit around and eat ice cream all day long, seven days a week? No, but once in a while. Right. And that's where it's important for us to understand those boundaries and guardrails. Like, how does that fit into a bigger picture? Is it okay to once in a while do that we wouldn't categorically say, yes, eating ice cream is a healthy thing for me to do. But an ice cream cone once in a while, or celebrating someone's birthday or whatever, that in that context, that actually is a good thing. Mm-hmm. So I think understanding that is really important, and asking us, being willing to ask ourselves those questions. What effect is this having on me?
Yeah, in terms of being constantly connected and this 24/7 news cycle type of thing. Is it good to stay in the know? Absolutely. But you shouldn't be obsessed with it. You shouldn't be just covering yourself in all of the negative things that are happening.
Right.
It's very recent in human history that we have news of what is happening everywhere.
Yeah.
All the time.
All the time.
Everywhere, correct. All the time. Yeah.
And so it used to be that, if nothing bad happened in your town yesterday, great. Now it's, here's 17 bad things that happened this morning in all these different spots. And again, it's not, we shouldn't be turn a blind eye to any of this stuff, but we also should be, the word I keep saying is discerning, We should be discerning about how we use it.
And the reason is because we have limited resources, mm-hmm. right? Time is one of our most precious resources that any of us have, right? And we use this term, but we maybe don't think about it this way. We use the term spending time, right? Mm-hmm. We understand when we say spending money. Yeah, if I spend my money on this, that means I'm not going to have money for other things. Mm-hmm. But when we think about spending time, we don't think about it as a currency, but it really is a currency, right? Yeah. And so that 24/7 news feed or whatever it is, it's asking us to spend our currency there.
Right.
Right. That's what it's asking us to do. It's saying, come, spend your time here.
Yeah.
And maybe if we just think about it that way, this is my limited currency of time. Yeah. Maybe it helps us be a little more discerning. Maybe not, but maybe for someone listening, that little shift of thinking might spark a healthier decision-making process for them. I'm not sure.
Yeah. Yeah. So if you're spending your time, ask yourself, what are you buying? What are you getting from this? I know a lot of people that had started feeling more anxious, more tired, more all these negative things because they didn't realize how much only bad news was having an effect on them, only comparing themselves to other people. And yeah, even just taking a break once in a while really helps to reset them. But to go all the way back to this, because you are also spending your time listening to this right now. So our hope is that as you're making your decisions to find things that hopefully enrich rather than deplete you in your life, that some of these conversations that we're having are meaningful and helpful and challenging.
Love that.
To you.
Yeah, and get you to think a little bit.
I love that. So maybe just thinking through this, if you were to encourage someone with, how do I know if I'm consuming too much or consuming the wrong thing online, it's asking the question, what's enriching me versus what's depleting me? Mm. Good question to ask.
Yeah, I think it's a great question to ask. Yeah.
Cool.
So we're going to wrap up, I think, for today, and hopefully we'll connect with you again very soon. You may have some feedback for us. You may have a question that you want us to have as a subject matter, or you got a suggestion for us. So we are now ready to have you let us know that. So you can email us at podcast@victorchurch.org. Real simple, podcast@victorchurch.org. Yeah, let us know what you're hearing, what you're thinking, and any questions you have, things that you might want us to address in the episodes ahead. And we will hopefully see you real soon.
Bye, guys.
See ya.